Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Mangalore Chemicals and Fertilizers Limited and SKP Securities, it's my pleasure to welcome you to MCFL's Q2 FY24 earnings webinar. We have with us today Mr. Nitin Kantat, Whole-time Director, along with Mr. T.M. Muralidharan, CFO, who most of you have already been meeting. All participant lines have been placed on mute, and this webinar is being recorded for compliance reasons. We'll have the opening remarks and a presentation by the management, followed by Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Kantak.
Thank you, Navin ji, for this conference call. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, esteemed investors, partners, and colleagues. I'm delighted to welcome you all to our Q2 investor meet today, and I'm truly excited to share the remarkable journey of MCFL over the past quarter. Despite facing several challenges, our company has continued to shine, demonstrating resilience and adaptability in the face of adversity. Let me take a moment to take you through the highlights, the hurdles we confronted in this quarter. As you all know, South India, especially Karnataka, faced one of the worst monsoon seasons in recent memory. The monsoon was alarmingly erratic, with delayed arrival in June, very excess rains in July, abnormally low rains in August, and again, normal rains in September. Overall, the deficit for the Kharif season in Karnataka is 18%, and the deficit in South Interior Karnataka is 28%. This posed a significant challenge to our operations, given that over 80% of our products are sold in this region. However, even in the face of adversity, I am proud to announce that MCFL has not only weathered the storm, but has emerged stronger and more resilient. As of end of quarter two, the average water levels of reservoirs in our marketing area have reached a mere 61% of their gross capacity, and this is just 66% of last year's storage. This is expected to have an impact on crop acreage of irrigated area in the Rabi season in our markets. On the raw material supply side scenario, the commodity prices are once again on an increasing trend from last month after cooling during October 2022 to August 2023 from a super cycle ride quarter-on-quarter till Q2 FY23. The fertilizer industry in India has performed exceedingly well in Q2 this year. All India urea sales for the quarter increased by 10% year-on-year to 12.2 million tons, and for H1, it was up by 6.6% to  18.4 million tons. All India DAP sales for the quarter were up 34% to 4.1 million tons, and for H1, it was up 22% to 6.3 million tons. Similarly, all India NP/NPK sales for the quarter were up 33% to 4.6 million tons, and for H1, they were up 25% to 6.1 million tons. All India MOP sales for the quarter were also up 21% to 0.55 million metric tons, and for H1, they were up 9% to 0.77 million metric tons. While the monsoon may have been erratic, our production and sales have remained steadfast, proving that MCFL is not just a fair weather performer. So we have continued to deliver quality products and maintain our market leadership even in the face of adverse condition. We have achieved number one position in Karnataka in market share was also highest with 25% each in Q2 as well as H1. We achieved primary sales of 3.32 lakh metric ton for Q2 and 5.4 lakh metric ton in H1, which are one of the highest levels in many years. Our overall POS sales, that is the direct sales to the farmers, were highest ever at 4.02 lakh tons in Q2 and 6 lakh metric tons for H1. During the quarter, we imported about 1.1 lakh metric tons of fertilizers, which included DAP, MOP, and N-26-26. These were received end of June and early July, and by the end of September, within 2.5 months, we have achieved 100% primary sales and almost 95% POS sales. This achievement is a testament to the dedication and commitment of our team and the trust that our partners and customers place in us. On the plant operation front, both our urea plant and the NP-DAP plants were operated without interruptions throughout the quarter. NP-DAP plant operated at higher loads, around 1,350 tons per day than normal, which is 900 to 950 metric tons per day. Production for the quarter was highest ever at 1.07 lakh metric tons, with record monthly productions in July and September. Also, we have achieved highest ever half-yearly productions for both urea and phosphatic fertilizers. Moving on to our financial performance for the quarter, I am pleased to announce that we have continued on our upward trajectory of the previous three quarters and happy to inform the investors that this is the best ever quarterly and half-yearly performance of MCFL. Our revenue from operations for Q2 stands at rupees 1,403 crores, reflecting a staggering 395% increase over corresponding period last year. You will recall that last year our urea production was stopped for implementation of energy improvement project. Also, our phosphatic production was curtailed due to raw material supply constraints. Further, we could not deal in any trading last year due to negative margins on imported fertilizers. Revenue for the half year stands at rupees 2,361 crores, which is an increase of 81% over H1 FY23 of 1,305 crores. EBITDA for the quarter is rupees 148 crores against negative rupees 16 crores in Q2 last year. EBITDA for half year is rupees 271 crores as against rupees 58 crores in H1 FY23. PBT for the quarter is rupees 106 crores compared to a loss of rupees 49 crore in Q2 FY23. For H1, the PBT stands at 182 crores against loss of 13 crores in FY23. PAT for the quarter is also significant at rupees 67 crore vis-à-vis a loss of 32 crores in Q2 FY23. PAT for H1 is rupees 117 crore against a loss of 9 crore last year. I'm happy to inform that we have completed the financial closure of our 300 tons per day sulfuric acid project and signed LSTK contract with Mrs. ISJEC Heavy Engineering Limited. As you are aware, the project was approved by the board in the last quarter at an investment of rupees 240 crores. Project will be completed by July 2025. I will now hand over to our CFO, Mr. Muralidharan, to take you through our financials. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your lucid presentation on the key highlights of the performance.
Murli, you can put it on full screen.
Is my screen visible now to all of you?
Yes, perfect.
Yeah, thank you. the overview of Q2 and H1 performance. We have taken up a planned maintenance of urea and ammonia plant during the last week of September 2023. And currently the startup is in progress. We have achieved highest ever half yearly productions for ammonia, 140,499 metric tons. And we have best highest production of urea at 231,899 tons and highest phosphatic fertilizers at 192,000 tons. For understanding with the comparison with the last year performance, we have achieved 86% higher production in H1 FY24 compared to H1 of FY23. The sale of imported DAP, NPK and MOP is highest in this history of MCFL, 116,000 tons in H1. We shall move to some of the key highlights of Q2 and H1 performance with corresponding periods of FY23. Coming to sales quantity, we have achieved a growth of 712% in sales volume at 3.33 lakh tons in Q2 FY24 compared to 0.41 lakh tons in Q2 FY23. The lower production in FY23 was on account of shutdown of urea operations we had taken up for the implementation of the ammonia energy improvement project. Coming to the H1 performance on the sales quantity, we have registered a growth of 174% in H1 FY24 at 5.41 lakh tons compared to 1.97 lakh tons in H1 FY23. Regarding revenue from operations, we have registered a growth of 398% in Q2 FY24 at rupees 1,410 crores compared to rupees 283 crores in Q2 FY23. Similarly, we have registered a growth of 82% in revenue in H1 FY24 at rupees 2,368 crores compared to rupees 1,305 crores in H1 FY23. As regards EBITDA, it has increased exponentially by 1,216% in Q2 FY24 at rupees 152 crores for the quarter compared to loss of rupees 13 crores in Q2 FY23. Similarly, the EBITDA for the H1 increased by 393% at rupees 276 crores compared to rupees 56 crores in H1 FY23. PBT we have reported rupees 106 crores, which is an increase of 316% over the Q2 of FY23 against the loss we reported. The PBT of H1 FY24 increased by 1,539% at rupees 182 crores from a loss of 13 crores in H1 FY23, which is primarily on account of higher sales volume and improved efficiency. As regards PAT, we have registered a growth of 313% in Q2 FY24 at rupees 68 crores compared to loss of 32 crores in Q2 FY23. Similarly, PAT of H1 FY24 increased from a loss of rupees 9 crores to PAT of 117 crores in H1 FY24, registering a growth of 1,346%. Coming to the important EPS, we achieved an EPS of rupees 5.71 rupees per share in Q2 FY24 compared to negative EPS of 2.71 rupees per share in Q2 FY23. Coming to H1 performance as regards EPS, the EPS is rupees 9.87 rupees per share in FY24 compared to negative EPS of 0.79 rupees in H1 FY23. Let us look at some details of the production, sales, and revenue. The production and sale of urea is 1.10 lakh metric tons and 1.15 lakh metric tons, respectively, in Q2 FY24, compared to production and sale of urea of 0.1 lakh tons and 0.11 lakh tons in Q2 of FY23. As far as H1 FY24 is concerned, we achieved production and sales of urea of 2.32 lakh tons and 2.36 lakh tons, respectively, compared to 0.83 lakh metric tons and 0.85 lakh metric tons in the corresponding period of FY23. With regards to fertilizer, non-urea fertilizers, we have sold 2.18 lakh metric tons in current quarter compared to 0.30 lakh metric tons in Q2 FY23. For H1 of FY24, we have sold complex fertilizers of 3.05 lakh metric tons compared to 1.12 lakh metric tons of during corresponding period of previous year. As far as revenue from operations, urea business has posted growth from rupees 58 crores in Q2 FY23 to rupees 434 crores in Q2 FY24 and from 489 crores in H1 of FY23 to 966 crores in H1 of FY24. Non-urea business registered revenue of rupees 976 crores in Q2 FY24 as against 225 crores in Q2 FY23 and rupees 1,402 crores in H1 FY24 as against rupees 816 crores in H1 FY23. Now we shall look at the financial position. Net worth appreciated by rupees 243 crores between September 2022 and September 2023. The net worth stands at rupees 903 crores. Loan. Coming to short-term debt, that is working capital, it is rupees 633 crores in September 23 against rupees 1076 crores in September 2022. The reduction is due to improved liquidity and lower borrowings. The short-term surplus is rupees 159 crores in September 2023 as against rupees 194 crores in September 2022. Due to higher subsidy disbursement of rupees 1,476 crores during Q2 of FY24. Compared to 462 crores we received in Q2 of FY23. Receivables. As all of you know, there are two types of receivables in bulk fertilizer industry. One is the market dues, which we receive from the dealers. Other one is subsidy we receive from the Government of India. The market dues is rupees 185 crores in September 2023 as against rupees 127 crores in September 2022. Okay. Coming to subsidy receivables. Very different position we are facing today. Okay, very welcome position. We have received excess subsidy on account of de-escalation in the prices of gas for urea operations, and therefore subsidy paid, and therefore subsidy receivable has become subsidy payable to the Government of India at rupees 84 crores in end of September 2023 as against 576 crores receivable in September 2022. As per the, I want to clarify this, how this happens. Government recognizes and notifies the escalation of the gas prices, de-escalation gas prices. There's a timing delay in the processes, okay? So when we continue to get at prices, at higher prices and subsidies are disbursed, subsequently when the prices decrease, there's a timing difference. By virtue of that, we end up in getting some excess subsidy temporarily, which will be refundable to the Government of India when these de-escalation, the price, that is reduction in the prices of gas prices, again is by government notified accordingly. Okay, that is the reason the situation of payment of subsidies to the government has happened this time. One more factor is, and we are able to convert all the our primary sales into the sale through point of sale machine, as explained by our CEO. Okay, one of the reasons you are able to get subsidies from other complex factors also. Okay, now we look at some of the past annual performance. Revenue from operations was rupees 3,074 crores in FY19, has increased to 3,642 crores in FY23. EBITDA, you can see from the levels of 200 crores for FY19, we are able to maintain the EBITDA during difficult times in the last 3-4 years and able to improve it to 340 crores in FY23. The first time we have crossed 300 crore club. Okay, hopefully we are able to maintain the same levels and the club we belong to. The PBT has improved from rupees 50 crores in FY19 to rupees 176 crores in FY23 due to receipt of natural gas in FY21 and successful commissioning of ammonia energy improvement project in FY23. In respect of PAT, similarly, we are able to improve from rupees 33 crores in FY19 to rupees 135 crores in FY23. The cash profit has improved from rupees 70 crores in FY19 to rupees 194 crores in FY23. The earnings per share has improved from rupees 3 per share in FY19 to rupees 11 per share in FY23. We could see from that the total receivables have come down from rupees 1,564 crores in FY19 to 757 crores, which is almost reduction of more than 50%. This is possible on account of improved liquidity in the market and also significant reduction in subsidy receivables due to the support given by the Government of India during the difficult COVID times by way of fiscal stimulus, and the subsequent years from FY22-23, also this adequate support has been given by the Government of India by the budget support. Similar trend we expect to continue going forward also. We shall look at the details of production and sale of urea. We are able to consistently produce at 3.8 lakh tons per annum, which is our reserve capacity. However, in the last financial year, FY23, there's a reduction in production due to plant shutdown for the implementation of energy improvement project. The trend in PNK fertilizers is based on availability and viability in this vertical. We carry this slide for the first time participants. This is an overview of MC Flow operations as regards location of the plant, product manufacture, the capacities, marketing territories, and the brand. The plant is situated at Mangalore West Coast, opposite Mangalore Port, and our present capacity of urea is 3.8 lakh tons, which is reserve capacity as said earlier, whereas capacity of DAP and other complex fertilizers is 2.8 lakh tons per annum. We also trade in MOP, DAP, and 10-26-26 based on market opportunities and business viability. We operate in the states of Karnataka, Kerala, Tamil Nadu, Andhra Pradesh, Telangana, Maharashtra. We sell about 85% of our sales in Karnataka, 3% in Kerala, 6% in Tamil Nadu, 5% in Andhra Pradesh, and 2% in Maharashtra. We sell under the brand Mangala, a trusted brand of the farmers. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Murli. Friends, we now open the floor for a Q&A session. Anyone wishing to ask a question, please raise your hands and we'll take it up. We have a first question from Darshita Shah. Darshita, please go ahead.
Yeah, hope I'm audible.
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the presentation and congratulations on strong set of numbers. I have a couple of questions. So the first one was regarding the NBS subsidy cut that the government took for the second half of the year. Have you provided for any provision in the second quarter numbers?
Italy, you can go ahead.
Yeah, I will respond, sir. Thank you, sir. Dakshita, we have provided for the reduction of the NBS rates from 1st of October. Whatever inventory we are carrying, we made adequate provision.
Okay, so could you share the provision number and the unsold inventory at the POS and the factory?
Yeah, the amount we have provided for is 33 crores. Okay.
Okay, and what is the quantum of the pending inventory in million tons?
Is about 33,000 tons only.
It's about
33,000
tons of NPK fertilizers.
33,000 tons. Okay. Darshita, the average what you call reduction of the subsidy from 1st October 2023 is 10,000 per ton. Okay. So, and we have a provision for 33 crores, which is about 33,000 tons.
All right. Okay. Perfect. Second was largely, so Mr. Kantak mentioned that we've been able to increase our market share in the Karnataka region and that we've been able to sell the highest ever volumes also. Now, this was despite the kind of, rainfall that we saw during the Kharif season. So, could you elaborate a little on how were we able to push the inventory? I mean, was the demand not impacted on farmer level? And how were we able to push the inventory despite lower acreages? Or despite, the lower monsoon that we saw?
Yeah. Sir, can I answer, sir, with your permission?
Good.
How do you want to, you can respond, sir.
No, I can do it.
Yeah, please.
Darshita, we have been focusing on 2020 production over the last more than a year now. And we have been trying to promote 2020 in our markets. And it has been well taken by our farmers. And our Mangala brand is the strongest in Karnataka. And farmers insist on our brand, Mangala brand. So, mainly because of the Mangala brand and commitment of our farmers towards our product and a good set of dealers network, what we have in Karnataka, that's the reason we are able to push, our market shares. We have been consistently increasing our market share. And as I told, this year, overall fertilizer sales also, we are number one in Karnataka. Despite very adverse conditions, what we have been facing due to monsoons. But still, we have been able to push mainly because of our brand value, that is the Mangala brand.
Right. I was just trying to get like a better understanding as to how are we doing that? Like, how are we improving the brand presence? Are we like with the farmers as well as the distribution network that we have? Do we have like, some schemes in place, some discounts in place for distribution, like for the distributors? And with respect to farmers, what are we doing to improve our brand presence? Or what have we done in the last 1 year that has helped us improve our market share in the Karnataka market? If you could just elaborate a little on that.
So actually, we are doing as good as others, in promoting our products. We are not doing anything special. We give normal rebates only as the others are giving. So there is absolutely nothing in that. But our dealer network is very loyal and, they promote our product. And as I told, the farmers are, very much want Mangala brand. In fact, I have visited some of the markets and I have found that, farmers insisting on Mangala brand when other brands are also available. So this is the long term MCFL has done over the last 50 years on market development activities, what we have been doing. And this is continuing. So there is nothing extraordinary what we have done. But yes, efforts of our team has been, excellent in promoting and close monitoring of our costs. Whatever fertilizers are there with the dealer stocks, we ensure that, they are sold. So close follow-up is being done also from the dealers.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Supplement to Mr. Kantak. Okay. Can I supplement a few more?
Yes, please. Yes, please.
Thank you, sir. Dakshita, what we've done is, since we got our imported fertilizers only by end of June, by the time we got visibility of where these rains have come, wherever, and where this demand is there, we're able to populate the details. And we kept a clear, follow-up with the monsoon also, how it spanned out in July also. So those markets where the demand is going to be good, consumption can be good. So there we place our products and able to do the sales. This is one of the good strategy we followed. And also, as explained by Mr. Kantak, my CEO, then we kept the strong brand pull, and also the schemes which we have been doing it in the forms of market development schemes, not these discounts. Okay, we had only offered only standard discounts offered by all the competitors in the market. So the brand pull, number one, the planning of choosing the pockets are where the demand is for the products. Mapping is done very well, and so that we're able to do the primary sales and capture the market share.
Okay, so in the mapping bit that you mentioned, that we are choosing the markets and we are mapping it very well. So do we have any app or something in place that helps us, understand, okay, maybe this dealer is sitting with higher level of inventory, so we can move our inventory from here to the other region where there is demand? I mean, how are we doing the mapping? Or do we have our on-ground officers or field officers that are helping us get a better understanding on that?
See, we have this industry operates strongly with marketing officers who are in the field. So they keep visiting the individual location. They get the pulse of the market, where it is raining, where it is, how the sowing is the progress, what is the growth of the crops. So those monitoring is done. It is a very detailed process we have, and every company has got similar processes and robust processes we have to ensure that we feed the market where this demand is there, so that our fertilizer doesn't end up in sitting in the dealer point without consumption with the farmers. Okay.
Perfect. Also, for the second half of the year, how are we, with respect to the volume, you've mentioned that reservoir levels are very low. How are we expecting the volume offtake to be for the Rabi season?
I can answer that. Darshita, we are, of course, it is going to be challenging for us in the next two quarters, but we have plans to focus on certain areas, where rain has been adequate and that will be proper supply. It is not that all the places it will be very low, but some pockets will still be there where we will be able to promote our fertilizer sale.
Okay. And with respect to the subsidy cut that we have recently seen, and I believe that your raw material prices started to move up, and with the subsidy cut that we have seen, how are we looking at the profitability going forward for the third and the fourth quarter? It seems like whatever benefit that we saw in the first half of the year, where raw material prices were moving up, moving down, and your MRP and subsidy was stable, the government did not cut the subsidy at that time, and now when the prices are like raw material prices are going up, we are seeing a significant, like a substantial subsidy cut coming through. So how are we seeing the profitability for the second half of the year?
See, this government subsidy is decided based on 5 months of raw material price movement over the previous 5 months. So, since the prices have come down in the previous two quarters, so the subsidy level of the government has gone down. So, this is a cycle, and I don't think it is going to be a problem, and we will still be able to make decent profits, because we will be selling where there are more contributions. The 2020 product will still have more contributions, and we will be having a higher MRP also of 2020, and ensure that our profitability is maintained.
So, what is the current MRP per ton for our N20 products, and how much do we see it to increase now, I mean, for the third quarter?
For DAP, it is 1350, and we don't intend to change the DAP price. It will continue at 1350. Whereas the 2020, which was at around 1250, we are now increasing from 1st November to 1325 per bag. What I'm talking about is per bag.
Okay. And the farmer would be willing to buy it at 1325, especially when he's already getting DAP at 1350. What is the value proposition for the farmer to buy N20, which would be like a lower DAP grade at almost a similar rate?
I agree with your point, but even if you've seen about a year back or so, the price of DAP was lower, 1350, and price of 2020 was even about 1450. Despite of that, we were able to sell 2020 in the market. So I don't think that will be a major challenge from this point of view.
Okay. And so I just had one last question regarding the segment-wise subsidy per ton. If you could share that, your DAP, urea, non-urea, DAP, NPK, sorry, urea, DAP, NPK subsidy per ton for the quarter as well as for second quarter FY23.
You can come in.
One second. See, urea is not for quarter on quarter, it is for whole year basis. It is based on estimation. So, urea, it changes as per the feedstock prices, Darshita. So, that is what I call it, dynamic. Okay. To answer you. Regarding the subsidies for the Q2, once again, let me put them in my papers.
I was not mentioning the subsidy. I wanted the EBITDA per ton.
EBITDA you wanted, okay. My apologies. Okay. EBITDA per ton is we have earned about 5,000 rupees for urea. Okay. You are earning. Okay. And for the N20, you are making about 5,000 rupees. Okay. EBITDA per ton. Okay. And MOP we imported, okay, last what I call H1 is about 3,000 rupees per ton EBITDA we are making. And DAP, imported DAP also, we are making about 4,000 rupees per ton. And the manufactured DAP, we have lost money. Okay, it's about 1,500 rupees per ton.
Okay. And if you could share the same numbers for second quarter FY23.
Sorry.
The same EBITDA per ton number for second quarter FY23, the base quarter.
Yeah, this is, we are doing this what I call H1. Okay, this is the same pretty numbers as since the prices are being moving back and forth. Okay, so prices, the EBITDA, what I figures given is what we earned during what I call Q2 and H1.
Okay. No, I was talking about second quarter FY23. Last year, the same quarter, what was the EBITDA per ton?
Yeah, I don't know the figures now. We can share it with you.
Okay.
No problem. Okay.
Okay, no problem.
They were lower. Urea was around 2,259 for H1 FY23. And DAP were about 1,638 ton per ton. And N20 was around 4,200 per ton.
Oh, sorry, sir. Thank you, sir.
Okay, got it. I just had one last, your views on this, Mr. Kantak, if we are expecting any kind of subsidy increase to take place for the fourth quarter, fourth quarter FY23, something that we saw with respect to subsidy cut, are we expecting any subsidy increases to take place, given that your raw material prices have inched up, both phosphoric acid and ammonia?
No, I don't expect any increase in the subsidy in the Q4 of this financial year, because whatever has been declared is for the next 6 months, that is valid up to March 24. And I don't expect that subsidy is going to be increased in the Q4.
All right. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, Darshita. Hope your questions are all answered. Friends, anyone with a question, please raise your hand and we'll take it up. While some participants line up the questions, So there's a question on the question Q&A board from Chirag Shah. Given the near zero debt levels, do we expect reduction in interest outgo? And any outlook on margins and EBITDA PATA?
Yeah, Murli, you can do that.
See, as regards to debt, on long-term debt, we have a program of repayments, scheduled repayments as per the terms of sanction agreed. We will be, those reduction in the debt borrowings will come 90 crores during the current financial year, FY24. And indeed, another 60 crores and 50 crores will keep coming down as in FY24 and 25. Okay. Short-term debt, we can, will be factor of the market liquidity and the either in terms of market receivables as facility receivables. So there could be a marginal reduction. Since the rate of borrowing is very high currently, okay, so the inflation levels are very high and RBI is keeping the prices, what you call the rates unchanged, the last two monetary policies. So there could be a marginal, what you call impact, a positive impact on the borrowings, okay. Second question you can ask, Naveen. What second question I couldn't understand? Part of the question.
EBITDA patterns. Same what we have already answered.
Yes, as we know, we don't give any guidance as a practice, okay, on the EBITDA because it's a factor of very volatile situation in the market. So very difficult to give any guidance on that as a practice.
Thank you, Murli. Chirag, in case you have any follow-up question, please unmute yourself and we'll take it up. Friends, anyone with a question, please raise your hand and we'll take it. Because the presentation was very elaborate and Darshita asked most of the questions. Murli, in case you have anything more to add, or Mr. Katta, please. Okay, just one sec. There's another question on the Q&A board before you take over, sir. What is the current spread between phosphoric acid and DAP prices? Is it possible to consider an MRP increase in DAP if subsidy is not increased for Q4?
Okay, Murli, I'll take it.
Yeah.
The DAP prices now are of the level of around $600 per ton, about $595 per ton currently. And during Q2, they were between about 440 to about 600. In fact, it has been gradually going up from 440 in the beginning of the quarter to around 590 now. And the P2O5 prices for the last quarter was $850. And now it is $980. Now, you have asked about the MRP, whether you will be able to increase the MRP. And my answer to that is no. And government has already decided that, in fact, this is for more than a year now. Even when the commodity prices had gone very high, the government did not allow to increase the prices of DAP. And that's the reason, you know, we had negative contributions on DAP in the last year. And even now, the situation remains same. So DAP prices are not going to be increased beyond 1350, what is existing. However, government has allowed other NP and NPKs prices which can be increased. So whatever loss which may happen on the DAP, government has allowed the manufacturers and the traders to get it on the other products so that overall you don't make any loss.
Thank you, Mr. Kantak. Shubhro, I hope your questions are answered. Friends, anyone with a question, please raise your hand and we'll take it up. Darshita has a follow-up question.
Yeah, actually, I just had one clarification. I think, so the EBITDA per tons that Murli sir gave for urea, NPK, MOP, DAP, that was, I'm guessing, for first half FY24, or was it for the second quarter alone?
I gave for FY20, what call it, for H1, I gave.
For H1, 24.
Can you give for the second quarter specifically, if that's okay?
I'll give you. Okay. For Q2, the N20 was 4,000 rupees. That is the major flagship product. Other imported MOP same 3,000 rupees per ton EBITDA. And the other what you call the other imported products we manufactured, we have imported 4,500 we were able to make. And for an imported DAP, we got special what you call at about 6,000 rupees per ton. Okay. Coming to urea, we earned about 4,000 rupees per ton.
Okay. And for manufactured DAP, I'm guessing a 1,500 rupees.
We didn't manufacture a DAP at all during Q2. Okay.
Got it. All right, okay. Thank you so much. And the same for second quarter FY23, we'll have handy the EBITDA per ton number.
I gave it already.
That was okay. I thought that was for first half. So the number that you gave was for
H1. For Q2 specifically, of course, the urea plant did not operate, if you have seen. DAP, we got about 1,430 rupees per ton. And on N20, it was only 663 rupees per ton.
600 per ton. Okay.
Got it.
That was very less, actually. That time, the condition was quite difficult.
Right. No, I get it. I think the first asset requirement itself was an issue.
Prices, competitive prices were, extreme levels, at that time.
Right.
Darshita, one more thing I wanted to highlight, since a lot of discussion happened about the EBITDA. See, the quarter-on-quarter tracking is very difficult in this industry because there is a timing difference in which price increase is happening, even the subsidy recognition happening. Okay, so a lot of dynamics behind this. It is very, very volatile and very dynamic, and there will be timing difference in recovering the increase in prices. Sometimes even the reduction in the prices will be happening, but we can't able to pocket it because we'll be carrying high cost inventory. Okay, so very difficult to track quarter on quarter on H1 basis. So we only go at overall yearly basis. Okay. So, we also evaluate internally to be very positive, but a bit of positive in all the products. Sometimes the discounting is necessitated by the compulsions of the central government, DOF, to ensure that all farmers are given the prices, supply of the various fertilizers based on the demand and the type of crops they grow. So very difficult to given you can draw any parallels. Okay, comparing H1 H1 and Q2 Q2. Okay, this is what I want to give you a small guide so that any calculations you try to do that could be different because it goes behind multiple type of factors in getting this in earning the EBITDA. Okay.
Right. No, totally. I get your point. It's just to get a broader understanding as to what kind of gains are we making. That currently the situation is very volatile. So these numbers are not sustainable, so to say. So I get that.
Yeah, thank you for understanding, Darshita.
Thank you.
Thank you, Darshita. Before I hand over the floor to Mr. Katta for closing remarks, we'll just take a last question on the Q&A board. Shubhra Tripathi again. Given the current crisis in the Middle East, how do you see the supply dynamics shaping out in the next 3 to 6 months?
Yeah, actually, next two quarters are going to be very challenging. Both the commodity prices are hardening and also the subsidy has gone down. And also from the market front, we have challenges in terms of rabi season, the irrigated area is going to be affected. So we are hoping the northeast monsoons brings up some relief, and at least the rain-fed area you'll be able to sell the product. So I think yes, it is challenging, but we'll be able to get good profitability in the next 2 quarters.
Thank you, sir. As there are no further questions, over to you for your closing remarks. If you want to add anything.
Thank you very much In conclusion, I would like to reiterate that MCFL's performance in Q2 is nothing short of outstanding. We have not only overcome the challenges presented by the erratic monsoon, but have also set the stage for a promising future. Looking ahead, we acknowledge that the next two quarters present unique challenges with water reservoirs at only just about 61% of the total capacity currently. However, we are not the ones to back down from challenges. We have faced adversity before and emerged stronger each time. Our team is agile, innovative, and driven by a passion for excellence. We are well prepared to navigate these uncertain waters, leveraging our strong relationships and deep understanding of our markets. Rest assured, we will continue to explore new avenues of growth, optimize our operations, and deliver value to our stakeholders. As we move forward, I want to express my gratitude to our dedicated team, loyal partners, and you, our esteemed investors, for your unwavering support. Together, we will write the next chapter of success for MCFL. Thank you for your trust in us, and I look forward to another prosperous quarter ahead.
Thank you very much, sir. On behalf of all of us at SKP Securities, many congratulations once again on a good set of numbers and all the best for future quarters. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll end the con call webinar here and looking forward to hosting all of you again in the next quarter. Thank you and have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thank you.